We're back with episode 402 here on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. What is up, my friend? Welcome back here to another masterclass where I have the pleasure of interviewing Ryan Roddy Garcilaso. Dude is a rock star. I mean, he is at the top of his game when it comes to rehab construction. The guy has done well over 1,000 fix and flip deals. He's worked with thousands and thousands and thousands of fix and flip investors, puts on Rehab Depot seminars all across the country, primarily based out of Chicago, and does a bunch of consulting for people that want to get into the rehab game. Most of the people that go to his events are, people that do 10 plus rehabs a year, and he's worked with investors that do hundreds of rehabs a year. And he's kind of been there, done that. One of the things I constantly see, I've had the good fortune of just being very well networked, and part of it is because a lot of the different groups I'm associated with, and I have so many friends that do hundreds and hundreds of deals a year, and many of them are super successful, experienced wholesalers, and then eventually they get into the construction side of the business and they start rehabbing and they get burned and they lose their shirt. And then they go back to wholesaling, and almost I've seen some people have to start from ground zero because of a lot of the mistakes they've made. And in this particular episode, there's a lot that we cover. I mean, Ryan talks about the importance of just getting educated. So many people that get into these rehabs because of the HDTV shows that you see out there will go out and they'll hire a GC, a general contractor, but yet they don't know how to manage them. They don't know what questions to ask them. They don't know what the GC is supposed to make and what their margins need to be and how to buy materials and how to manage the crews. And so we just go through all of that. We talk about the coronavirus and how it's impacting current investors, fix and flippers, the advice that he has if you're in the middle of a project, if you're thinking about getting into a project, or if you're about to exit a project, what you need to be doing. One of the tips can save you thousands, if not one of the tips will save you tens of thousands of dollars when it comes to materials and what you should do. So highly recommend you guys listen to this. It's funny because of our business model, we don't really talk too much rehabbing. And I've done my fair share of rehabs, nothing to Roddy's degree. But every now and then I have somebody reach out to me and say, hey, well, when are you going to talk rehab? When are you going to talk construction? And I've been thinking, I got just the guy for you. And so it's taken us a few months to line this up, but I'm excited to have Roddy drop some knowledge on you, especially if you're an experienced rehabber. If you're thinking about getting into rehabs, or even if you consider yourself intermediate, you do a few here and there. Ryan's got the goods, and we're going to get right into it. Ryan, what is going on, my brother? How you doing?
I'm good, bro. Good to have me. I'm glad you have me, man. Good to meet you. Good to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you and I have been going back on Messenger for a while, so it's an honor to have you on, brother. I know you are at the top of your game when it comes to rehabs. And I'm looking forward.
Careful now. I'm good. I'm not. I hate the word expert. I don't want to be in that category. I'm seasoned.
Seasoned. There you go, man. I love it. So let me ask you that, man. How long have you been in this game?
15 years.
15 years. What got you started in this?
I was working with a physician friend. So believe it or not, I was in healthcare. When I was 21, and I was a paramedic working in the ER. And one of my physician friends, we were working in the ER. So at that time, the mindset then, you're 20, you're wild. I was wild. But you also, you're prepared for whatever's going to come in that door. So you have a different mindset. So the ER was always very different than the rest of the hospital. The people in the ER, the physicians, the surgeons, were a little nuts. You have to be for what comes in those doors, and there's death. It happens.
Yeah.
But short story, one of my doctor friends was an investor, obviously. He had money. He put money in, into the stocks, and he invested in real estate. Asked me if I knew how to rehab, and I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought he meant, like, I needed rehab. I was like, come on, man. And it turns out that he meant remodeling. He goes, did you know anybody who happened to remodel? Because I've got an investment house that I need fixed. And I said, no, but my uncles and family were in the trade. Maybe I can ask them to help out. Long story short, we ended up working with him on that flip. I didn't realize at the time I was actually general contracting. Okay. And I made every mistake you could possibly imagine. So I fell into it by accident, man. And I never looked back. So I've been doing this since 22.
Incredible, man. And so now you've done what, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rehabs, right?
Oh yeah, we're well over 1,000. I mean, we hit 1,000. Let me put it in perspective. We hit 1,000 personally when I was just contracting, when I was a GC. That was up until 5 years ago.
Incredible.
So the first 10 years, we knocked out about 1,000 working with hedge funds, working with investors of all different financial verticals, different types of strategies.
Yep.
And we were pumping out 10, 15 a month. And then, you know, 100 a year, and it just kept adding and adding and adding on. So we've done well over 1,000. But since going into consulting and the training, I've consulted probably quadruple as many, because some, as you know, we share a lot of peers.
Yep. I mean,
some guys have 200 a year. Some guys do 300 a year. Some people have massive portfolios of multi-units. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you add all that together, we don't even keep track of how many you've done. You look at money volume.
Yeah.
So as a company, I could say that we've consulted over $250 million in assets, and that's a big number. You know, that's probably more than that now, but
it's huge. It's huge.
It's a wild game, man. It's a wild game.
Let me ask you this, man. And so this is interesting timing. At the time we're recording this, we're days removed from, you know, this whole coronavirus thing kind of blowing up. At the time that people are listening to this, who knows what type of information and comes out, you know, between the time of recording this and when this goes aired. But we're going to get to the coronavirus stuff and your thoughts on that. There's a lot of wholesalers and fix and flip investors that listen to the show. And you got several that do, you know, 10, 15, 20 rehabs a year. And then you have some that do 100 north. What do you wish you knew back then when you were getting started in this game that you know now, having done all the projects you've done, having consulted with, you know, thousands of people?
That's a great question, actually. I've never been asked that. I've actually never been asked that. And I've been on a lot of podcasts. I think first thing that comes to my mind, like I said earlier, I didn't know how to general contract. And I'll explain that. But the irony is the investors that I serve now don't know how to general contract. So it's very parallel how it evolved. So I had to learn contracting and what it was like to run crews and manage schedules and put the pieces together for a project, much like investors struggling in the past 10 years, how to put the pieces together for a project, right?
Yep.
This is why a lot of wholesalers stay in the wholesale game. They don't want to get, you know, they dabbled in the rehab and it was a disaster, rightfully so. If you don't know anything about contracting, you're not going to survive. So I wish I would have known how to contract sooner. However, I love the path that we've taken. I love how I'm the only individual in this space. And it wouldn't have happened if I wanted everything I wanted at 21, 22, 24, right? And Tony Robbins says it best, man. He talks about how messed up his life. And he's like, if my mom wasn't crazy, I wouldn't know who I am.
That's right.
Right? And he rolls with it. And I got goosebumps saying that because I'm a big believer in stuff like that. But that's what it was. It was really, for a number of years, I was like, man, I wish I knew more. I wish I knew more. At the time, I was struggling to be better. I was struggling to be efficient. I was struggling to remain profitable. But on the outside surface, like so many investors across the nation, it's look at me, look at me, look at me, look at my numbers, look at my gross, look at my social media.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
It's BS. Yeah.
Down to net, it comes down to what you're really doing. And I want to know the struggle. I buy into the struggle personally.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I struggled all the way through it. And that's when I decided I got to start teaching investors, because if I'm struggling and I'm making more money than my investors are, what's up with that? There's a problem with that.
Yeah.
Right? I should be making my fee and my margin and we go home. But I'm making more than that because I realize investors don't know what I am knowing, what I am learning, how I am growing. Mm-hmm. And I realize there's a huge opportunity for that. And again, parallels 15 years ago, it's still the same problem. Incredible. People do not know how to general contract. So wholesalers, for example, that are listening to this call, I challenge you, because here's the deal. You know, you might be looking at opportunities that you're not taking down, where you can have a bigger rip on the rehab because you're scared. I don't blame you. I don't blame you to do that. But what if I told you somebody could actually show you how to do it now? That's the difference. And that's why we love contracting. I said, maybe we can make an impact by being the first contractors ever to leave contracting and say, listen, I'm on the investor side now. I'm on your side of the table. Let's objectively look at what you're about to purchase, and let's price it, and let's put a scope together, and let's put some people on it.
Yeah.
And let me show you how to run it. Would that entice you? And God bless, man. Past 5 years has been pretty good.
And you bring a unique insight to the industry because you came from the contractor world, you know, so right. You've been on both sides and you can.
Still licensed.
Yeah, 100%. What do you think is the biggest mistake you see investors today, you know, 2020? What kinds of mistakes? I mean, with all the people you've worked with and consulted, what are some common mistakes? And more importantly, how do they avoid those mistakes?
All right. So, you know, like I know, there's different levels of investors that are, yep. that are in the game right now across the country. You and I happen to know some of the top level guys. Mm-hmm. And we also know a lot of the mid-level guys. We also know about like the up and comers. And then we also know those beginners, they're taking a shot, right? So we know all those verticals of different types of investors coming into the game. And I have nothing but respect for that because it takes balls to play.
It does.
But at the end of the day, I think what I'm seeing more and more of is, and I real estate investing, I don't care if you're a wholesaler, I don't care if you're a land developer, custom home builder, I don't care. There's three pillars to the game. There's real estate, there's investing, and then there's construction. If you choose to alter the asset, if you choose to change it, then mm-hmm. there's construction involved. What I think the big mistake is we're the only company that provides construction consulting, right? There's no other help. So investors are forced to learn one or two pillars, not all three. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a disadvantage to the industry as a whole because investors sure. need to understand all three pillars. Not because you want to rehab tomorrow, but maybe you want to take down a deal tomorrow because that's what this business is all about. It's opportunity, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So if something comes across your desk one day, you're like, damn, look at the ARV on that. I might be able to make 60, 100,000. Who knows? Just throwing numbers right. out. Right. But then you're like, no, I suck at rehabbing. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to wholesale and make my 15, 20K, 25K and call it a day, whatever. But the opportunities I feel are being missed because investors aren't learning the third pillar, which is construction. And I think that sucks, man. I think that hurts everybody. I don't care who you are, where you are, what market you're in. I think that's a disadvantage to the industry, and it should change. And that's what we're trying to do.
It's such an interesting point, Ryan, because I think across the landscape of the real estate investor space, and you have so many courses and trainers and gurus on teaching wholesaling and teaching, but you have very few doing what you're doing. And I would imagine as there's so many moving parts to successfully running these projects, especially at scale, brother. What does it boil down to? Obviously, you got to have solid crews. You got to have systems. What would you say, and I realize this is a very broad question, but what are like the two or three things that are important and necessary to be able to do that business at scale?
Good question. So first and foremost, you have to continue to self-educate on the business side of running a business. There's a lot of great people out there teaching EOS and all these different pieces sure. to the puzzle. And I think that's another piece that, you know, the evolvement of business is something that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. I think what happens, and I say this in my boot camps all the time, I say it to a lot of the guys, because I'd say the people that come to our camps do 10 and up. And I would say, guess what happened? One day you started this off as a hobby. You wanted to make some side money. It was a side hustle. And then all of a sudden you got good at acquisitions and scrubbing deals. And all of a sudden you had two. And then all of a sudden you had four. And I said, what do you think that meant? And everybody's kind of like, it's like they're like quiet. I'm like, it meant you created a business. I said, now you got to put your big boy pants on and run a business. And I said, your hobby became your dream and you've missed that. Like, you just created a business, dude. Apparently you're good at pieces of this. Build around the foundation, right? So every analogy I ever use is either sports or construction. So, I mean, you put your team out there. You can't win any World Series if you don't practice. You put your team out there to build a house. You can't build a house from the top down.
That's right.
It's bottom up. So I would tell them, like, you built the foundation and you have a lot of pillars there. However, you still have to continue to evolve in business and understand accounting and understand money and understand not just the investing in real estate, but you got to understand people and processes, managing personalities, divisions talking to divisions, map processing. If I buy this cup and I want to send it down to my factory, who touches it? How does it go there? Right. How long do they touch it for? Because time is money in construction. So you're sitting there going, if I have to give it to you, how long am I going to have it? What am I going to do to it? Then I give it to you. How long are you going to have it? What are you going to do to it? Yep. That's the point is, I think a lot of oftentimes is that investors are realizing, like, damn, I don't know anything about business because I came from Microsoft. I'm a tech guy. Yeah. Or I'm a web designer by trade. And that's okay. That's the American dream. But I think that, again, is something that's going to need more involvement. I think a lot of the higher level guys that we know have realized that is where we're at. And it doesn't mean they're great at it. That means they continue to evolve.
Like that's right. Getting that's better. Right.
I don't think anybody can say they're great unless you're the guy sitting there running the country, right? It's calling the shots.
Yeah.
The true aristocrats. There's very few of those, to be honest.
Yeah, I got to think the HDTV kind of culture and environment out there, you know, entices and encourages the newbie, you know, the stay-at-home mom or dad to just get into this game, and they realize it's a lot more than what you see on TV.
Yeah, man, it's bullshit. When you deal with Roddy, you get it straight up. It's bullshit. I've been taped on it on DIY in 2013, HDTV in 2014. All bullshit. The numbers are horrendous. I'm like, anybody who knows anything knows that this doesn't even make sense. Don't ever put me in this shit again. I'm actually going to be on the Deed Chicago tomorrow night, believe it or not.
Are you really?
Yeah. So we taped. I had a client that we taped with out here in Chicago, I think the end of 17. I completely forgot about it. It really was for him. He needed a bailout. And I'm a rehab consultant, which is nobody knows what that is, right? So Sean Connolly was like challenging me in that the whole time, because technically that's what he came to do, is consult him. So I didn't stay on the show very long, but it's Hollywood. They do their script. So it'll be on TV tomorrow night. But again, the people that know me are going to watch this and go, ooh, that doesn't look too good. I'm like, exactly. Cause it's Hollywood. Yeah. They got to do what they got to do. And since we're the big bad dog, we can take it is what it is. But to answer your question, it's bullshit. You know, it's fun for entertainment. It's cool to look at these before and afters. It really is. But at the end of the day, it's a business.
Right.
And I don't want anybody having false advertising that, yeah, you can get in this business and be a millionaire. It takes time. You're going to lose a million before you make a million.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is you have to be prepared for that. And TV doesn't do the justice. You know that.
Yeah. And Roy, I think one of the struggles and the challenges that every time I talk, specifically, you and I are part of, you know, a pretty big network of successful investors. And when I talk to the guys that have struggled in the rehab game, usually I hear it boils down to trying to find the right contractors.
Yep.
Talk to me about not the importance. Everybody understands the importance of finding the right contractors, having the right crew. How do you find reliable, good workers? And then the second struggle I hear is just giving them enough volume, giving them enough projects, and keeping them busy so they don't bounce to the next project.
Okay, so point number one is investors need to learn at some level you have to participate in your rehab, whether you like it or not.
Okay.
Number two is at some level you become a project manager, whether you like it or not. And number three is that means you need to learn that, right? You can't go out and hire contractors if you don't know what the hell you're hiring.
That's right.
You can't go out and just hire a bunch of GCs if you don't know how to run them. You can't go out and run and try to manage projects if you don't know what you're managing. That's problem number one across the board in every state. I don't care who you are. I don't care who's listening. It's a fact. And some of you are smiling because you know it's true. You get involved in these and you realize, I don't even know what I'm doing. So what is the easy thing to do? Blame the GC. Right? It's GC's fault. He's not doing it. Well, do you know what your GC actually is supposed to do? Do you know how much your money your GC is supposed to make? Do you know how they make their money? Do you know how they market up? Do you know how they manage subs? Do you know all the kickbacks in the background? Do you know how they have to set up deliverables for materials? Do you know all that? No. Well, that's part of the problem, which means the investor, have to learn that. You have to get involved. If you want to scale, you have to get involved.
Yeah.
Before you start hiring a project manager, you need to know what a project manager does and what his roles and responsibilities and SOP looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And what training for an individual looks like. Before you go out and start hiring subs and blaming them, you need to understand what they actually do within their work capacity.
100%.
Right? And to me, that single-handedly answers your first part of the question. Second part of the question about, is it scaling? Was that what it was?
Yeah, so basically keeping them active. You know, I talk to a lot of guys that they finally find somebody good, but they just don't have enough volume to keep them active. They lose them and then, you know.
Yeah, no, 100%. So here's the deal. rehabbers and contractors in the rehab forum need to work together. Why? Because it's a volume game, right? Investors want volume. Well, guess what? Your GC needs volume. Why? Because they're losing money because right. they came right. down to the rehab game to play your game, right? You have no margin for me, which means if I want to stay down here at 10, 15% margin, when I can go build McDonald's for 40%, mm-hmm. that means you better give me 10, right? I better have five from you this year because I'm going to need five of you kind of guys to do five each, right? Got it. So it's a volume matched volume game, and you need to build upon that. And right now, with the current times, I did a live call last night. I just went live and talked about exactly the top six issues that are happening right now in construction. And this goes back to my point of investors aren't learning construction. So they're going to, you know, I get it, right? I'm on tons of calls this week about this where it's like, oh, we're going to bulk up. We're going to bulk up. That's great. What are you going to do with the inventory? Are you set up for construction? No, I got guys that you know they're doing 300 wholesale deals a year. They don't do rehabs, but now they want to do rehabs. I'm like, dude.
That's scary, man.
Breaks, brother. You got to build a construction division. Like, and that takes at least 90 days to yeah. implement and then another 90 days to practice, to, yeah. to check the challenges, right? It's a business. Like, what we do is a business. And that, I think, again, it's a conversation that needs to happen between the investor and the contractor about goals, three-year, five-year plan. Share that. Type of yeah. margin you're dealing with. Ask your contractor, what do you need to make on a regular basis so I have an idea of what I might need to buy? Mm-hmm. Working on numbers together, you can start buying around your contractor, right? If you know what your contractor needs to make and it makes right. sense for you to make your profit, you can buy around that. You form a partnership. And it's not a partnership on paper. It's a partnership in work.
Yeah, right? Of course.
And then you start building trust and rapport, trust and rapport. And that's what it comes down to is having honest conversations with the contractor, but you can't have honest conversations with the contractor if you don't know what you're talking about.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, man, this isn't one of those things.
Right through you. I remember I told Corey Boatwright when I first time I met Corey Boatwright, he asked me a question about what it's like to talk to investors now at the level I'm at. And I said, dude, even back then, I would look a contractor dead in their eye and I'd say, what's your budget? And they'd give me a number that made no sense because I knew what the ARV was. And I'd say, right. I said, I own you. I own your return. I own your kid's future. I own anything you think you got because I know my numbers and you have no clue. That's the problem.
Yeah. So, man, it boils down to educating yourself. And like you said, man, your GC is your partner, whether you realize it or not. And it makes so much sense for you to communicate your vision to them and communicate how you guys see the next 3-5 years playing out, talking numbers, getting on the same page with them. And that's those types of things that I think people are making mistakes. They're jumping into these rehabs thinking they're a lot easier than they are. They're not educated and they're losing their pants, dude. And then they're going back, you know, they're going back to wholesaling because they just weren't properly set up to run a construction business.
Well, right now, construction is going to hurt for a while.
Yeah.
So the contractors that you do have across the country, and this is for all you listening, my advice right now is if you do have a set of contractors that you like, guys you're working with routinely that you've developed a little bit with over time, have a toolbox conversation. It's called toolbox talk. Talk to them right now and say, here's the deal, man. Here's what I'm doing as an investment company. Are you planning from construction? What does your money look like? What does your future look like? Right. What do your subs look like? Because they're going to get hit hard. And what happens now is homeowners on the consumer level, retail level, they're going to pump the brakes, right? So you live in your home, you and your wife want to do a kitchen remodel. You might not do the kitchen remodel right now, right?
Not happening.
So now A-level guys, they claim the 40% margin, are re-entering the rehab game. Mm. And they're going to shake shit up. So the C-level contractors is what you've been dealing with all along in the rehab game. People don't know that. You're dealing with the C-level doctor, the C-level attorney, the C-level contractor, right?
Right.
He didn't go to Yale, but he's got a degree. My point is that. So now when the A guys come in, that's like me entering the Chicago market again. Ooh, that'd be bad for a lot of C-level contractors. They would be bankrupt in a heartbeat. Point being is that's what's going to happen in big markets now is the A-level guys got to make money. They've got employees. They've got three superintendents. They've got three project managers. And they're phenomenal businesses, but they're going to claim that 40% one way or another. And investors are going to have to look at that and say, okay, shit, you just doubled my margin from working with Steve. But if I work with Roddy, in this hypothetical, I'm not going to be your GC. But if you're working with somebody like Roddy, do I want to pay 40% and get the job done 2 weeks early? Or do I want to still pay my C-level guy, have the hiccups, it turns in late, quality control is not there, and you still paid the margin over period anyway when you could have just paid it the first time?
It's a no-brainer.
Makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, sometimes people trip over dollars to get to pennies and nickels. It makes absolute no sense, man. Pay quality people what they're worth, and they'll take care of you.
But that's the difference between the climbing, right? That's the up and comers versus the mid-level versus the elite investors, right? The elite real estate investors know what we're talking about. They're like, yeah, dude, shit, I saw that 4 years ago or 5 years ago. Like I do my best to give my guys what they need, because in return, you pay for what you get no matter what, good and bad. But I think a lot of the guys coming into the game, they're just trying, and they're trying to play, and it's a ping pong, and they're trying to just volley and hang, man. And they're realizing that there's way more to learn than they realize, because TV or some bullshit guru in their market is selling the 900th wholesaling program, right? And you're sitting there going, come on, man. My opinion is find somebody that you absolutely trust who is a real influencer, a guy like you, right? A guy like me who says, listen, we live this life. This is what we do. This is what we've done, right? We've got the credentials. I got walls of awards. My point is, those are the guys you want to align with, not the guy that did three, failed at it, and thinks he's going to teach you how not to fail at it. Get the fuck out of here.
Like you said, man, there's so many quote-unquote experts these days, man. Everybody is an expert. Everybody's an influencer, and they've done a couple deals, you know? And so it's
right now, guys are coming out trying to rip people off. It's not right.
Yeah. Well, you want to know what, man? I think this whole coronavirus thing, and again, the time that this goes live, who knows what have happened within the last couple of weeks, it's going to weed out the pros from the people that are just, you know, playing pro. I'd love to hear your thoughts, man. People that are listening to this that are in the middle of projects, they're in the middle of rehabs, whether it's the beginning, the middle, the end. What do you recommend, brother? How do people kind of navigate through these uncharted waters, I should say, as far as the market climate, you know, the political climate, everything going on with the coronavirus, lending, who knows what's going to happen on that front. What are your thoughts?
One, for those of you who have open rehabs right now, and if you have the cash flow and the capital, buy your materials in advance and store them somewhere. Get that done, because big box stores will struggle. It's going to happen. It may happen for a day, may happen for a week, but I don't know. Nobody knows. But if you have financial capabilities to do something like that, I would do that. Even if you have a contract with your contract where they buy all the materials, work that out later. Go buy materials. Tell him, like, listen, toolbox talks. Listen, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks. I want to keep you employed. I have the capital. I'm going to go get all the materials. Give me a material list, right? We'll store them somewhere else. We'll rework our contract, right?
Okay.
What you're doing there is you're just going from an all-inclusive lump sum contract to a labor plus rough material contract. So all you're asking them to do is, let's switch this out. You've been paid what you've been paid. But what do we need? What do you need for you and your guys' labor to not only pay for the guys and make a profit?
Okay.
Take that from your current budget. You go buy the materials. You're now the finished guy. Bulk up on that for all your jobs. For the guys who have projects under contract right now that haven't closed yet, plan for that as well. But start educating. Start learning about a little bit more about construction. Don't just sleep on that. That's an industry you need to understand what's going to happen, because it's going to get hurt. And construction is notoriously delayed when it comes to economic issues. So we're already talking about 2021 being a problem for construction, when in 2019, this is supposed to be the biggest year yet. Go figure. And over the past 10 years, construction has done very well. Very, very well. You know, everything's done very, very well. And so those are two things that I would say immediately. Get your materials ahead of time. Start planning. Start educating on what it takes to prepare. Literally, it's called the production phase. You have four steps. Could be 4 weeks. Could be 4 days. There's four steps you need to do in construction to prepare for demo day one, and materials and SKUs and comparables and job site binders and all these things and contracts. Yep. All that plays a role in setting that up. Don't wait till you close to set that up. Set that up right now if you have projects that are under contract. And for those of you who think the time's now to bulk up, fine. Same thing. Educate. Align with teams like us or companies like us where we can help coach you and teach you through that phase, because you're going to see a lot of things coming your way that you've never seen before. And your contractors are going to wisen up. They have no chance. So prices are going to go up. Material costs are going to go up. That's why the time to buy the materials is now, because that's going to go up. Steel, lumber, and iron are going up. Any big box store or vendor that you have now that buys from China, that's over for now. And then your contractors are going to compete with the A-levels now, right? So prices are going to go up. There's going to be a betting war in the construction game to get your work. So you need to know that and play to that fiddle, if you will. But plan for contractors scrutinizing your contracts with them a little bit more now, because they'll start to bail on you when they realize I need money. They're going to take a big money job because they don't know if that's the last job they're going to get for a couple months.
Right, right.
Wisen up. This is my advice to you. Start looking at your rehabs now and planning for it, it starts setting up the preparation and production phase. Construction management, you know, project management is a whole different ballgame. Don't even worry about that right now. Worry about what you've got and what you need to get done with it. That's my advice.
Got it. Got it. No, super valuable, man. And coming from you, that means a lot. This next question, this is going to vary depending on where you're at in your business, depending on cash reserves. There's so many variables and factors here. But what about acquisitions, acquiring future products in the middle of this economic landscape? There's a lot of uncertainty. We're not 100% sure if we're headed into a recession, what this looks like. Who knows, man? Nobody has a crystal ball. But you know, for somebody listening to this, I would probably say the average person that listens to this show, 2 to 5 deals a month, you know, 2 to 6 deals a month. So let's assume half of those are rehab jobs. I'm hearing from coaching clients and from people that have reached out to listen to the show that they're starting to get a little bit more timid. They want to pull back on acquisitions when it comes to rehabs because they're just not 100% sure. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts come from being a true entrepreneur, first and foremost. You can't die on the vine, right? You're not going to sit here and bleed out. There's no point because everything comes back. So why bleed out now and then have to restart? Don't do that. Continue business as usual, is my opinion. Be aggressive. Be smart, but be aggressive. If you're still doing your marketing, continue your marketing. If you're doing podcasts, continue your podcasts. If you're out there grinding on leads and doing all these, you're going on seller visits, do all that. Don't stop doing those things. If your contractors want to have this real conversation with you, have that conversation. But to those of you who are listening and you currently struggle right now with any rehab you're doing, then maybe the time for you is now to learn what you're about to get into, or in that level, pump the brakes and go wholesale. Because this is where the difference is going to come to play, is the elite are going to be fine because they can ping pong themselves. I'll wholesale for free. And maybe I'll take down a flip here and there. They'll be fine, right? It's the guys who are 3 to 5, 10 to 20, under 50 that are going to be like, man, I'm really not that good at rehabbing. So there's a lot of risk in that to bulk up on the rehabs, right?
Yep.
You know, you have two options. It's very, very simple. It's very, very clear. Either switch out of rehabbing and go to wholesaling for now and just keep cash flow coming in for you and your family and take care of number one. And while you're doing number one, do number two, which is continue to learn and evolve about construction and rehabbing if that's what you want to do. You know, I know that's what the majority of investors like to do. They're just scared of it because they had poor experiences with it. And that's okay because there wasn't a company out there to help. Now there is.
Yeah.
So that's my advice, is continue business as usual. Don't panic. Yeah. I mean, be nervous. Who's not nervous? Everybody's anxious because we don't have any answers. But I can tell you this. I went through 08 and 09.
Yep, as did I.
It for the hedge funds, so there will be opportunity. It's a matter of, again, what I always call production. It's how you set yourself up. Risk analysis is a very big part of your process as an entrepreneur. Evaluate your risks.
That's right. You know,
take some of that money and start learning. Start learning from Alex, right? Start learning from me. Set yourself up. That's all I can tell you.
Well, brother, I double down on every single word you said. And I think the other part of this is making sure you're operating, in my opinion, out of a place of faith, not out of a place of fear. You know, and I love the fact that you said, hey, it's not that I'm not nervous, but I'm not paralyzed by this. I'm going to continue to move forward. I'm going to stay calm.
I'm as transparent as they come. I had a call last night because I have my moments too where I get anxiety. Who doesn't, man? Mm-hmm. You know, I know the image online and all that stuff is the big bad dog, but I'm human, right? Yeah. I have the same fears that people have when it comes to the economy and family and health and all these things. You know, so I'm calling my mentors. I have mentors, you know, and I called him at 11. He took my call. We talked for an hour, 56 minutes. And we just talked about everyday life and the kids. And we talked about the economy. We talked about cash flow. And we talked about everything. And that's what mentorship and coaching is. It's not just let's talk rehabs or let's talk wholesale or let's talk money. Let's talk life. You know, where's your head at mentally? Because that's a big piece of this now for everybody listening. Is your mental health is going to play with you. You see people talk about all the time about how you're your own worst enemy. And it's a fact. The devil's going to get in your head now. You have to fight that and believe in your faith. Whatever you believe in is your business. But find that faith and get the devil out of your head, man, because it's just noise. It's just noise. And even I have to call a mentor and say, I got fuzzies in my head, man. Talk me off. And they do. And then you feel so much better, like, yeah, I know. I just need to hear a reassurance. And there's plenty of guys out there for that. There's plenty of guys out there for that.
Yeah. Completely agree with you, my man. Brother, as we start to kind of wind down here, talk to me about the Rehab Depot. Talk to me about your seminars. You've worked with thousands and thousands of people, you know, leading expert when it comes to rehab. Okay. Let me backtrack.
Did you say expert?
Let me backtrack. what takes place at these seminars? How are these things structured? How do people look for? And let's send them over. I know it's the rehabdepot.com.
Yeah, rehabdepot.com. You can catch me, obviously, on all social media platforms. On Instagram, it's Legendary Flipper. On Twitter, it's Legendary Roddy. On Facebook, it's either Ryan Roddy Garcilaso or the Rehab Depot. We have other pages as well. We have a Rehab Project Management app that you're more than welcome to invite yourself to and see how we're getting ramped up for the app. And then we have the Roddy Rehab Academy for our students, which is a private group for all of our students, of course. So there's a lot of, you'll find us everywhere. But ultimately, we break it, our services down as such, and it's really, it comes down to your need. Every investor is different. So we offer boot camps, and our boot camp theme is always Rehab Project Management, where, you know, essentially I've been a project manager for 15 years in the game, so we just teach all those principles, things to look at, and we hold them live over 2 days. We were going to do Disney, and obviously with the coronavirus, we decided to cancel that. So we're actually still going to have that live, but we're going to condense 2 days online like this in this format. We're going to do an online weekend for the first time. That's April 23rd. Our tickets are always $1,500 a seat. We've actually reduced it down to $499 for the online camp. Awesome. Given the economy, given the structure now, given the system. So the camp is still on. I highly encourage anybody, if you're doing one or 1,000, that's the call to be on. You're going to learn a hell of a lot. We offer an online academy that's 8 weeks, and that's usually $2,500 a person. We brought that down to $1,299. For us guys, it's not about keeping our pricing at the time the same. It's doing what we have to do with the economy and making sure people are getting the help they need. So we're slashing everything, you know, and we encourage you to go online and sign up for the next class. The classes we do, they pretty much run online all the time. So if you want to get on that, it just started yesterday. Today's Tuesday. Yeah, it started yesterday, Monday the 16th. So you can get in on that. We give you a Google Drive. We've got 8 manuals. You have 8 videos. 4 of those are hosted live by me at the end of your tenure. We give you 5 module quizzes. You pass, we certify. I mean, it's legit. And this is something you want to learn right now. And then the big thing that we do is we consult investors all across the country. And that's where we come into town. And we work with your business model and your staff and things of that nature. But okay, the bottom line is anybody can reach me and reach out to me if you want to talk. If you have any ideas, we can schedule time and figure out what that looks like. The reality is rehabbers need us more than ever right now, and we're bombarded with calls. So we're actually working on the fly to accommodate whatever's happening in your market. So it's a cool time right now in terms of our growth, in terms of us figuring things out. But the bottom line is we have what you need. It's just a matter of what you need. So feel free to reach out to me anytime. My email is ryan@therehabdepot.com. Pretty straightforward. And my cell number is easy, man. Text me, 847-899-5713. And if anything, get a hold of Alex. Alex, get a hold of me. But we're here.
And we'll include all these details in the show notes page. Guys, if you're going to be out there and you're going to be tackling projects and doing rehabs, reach out to Ryan. I don't know anybody that's doing it that has his experience that's offering this level of service. And so connect with Ryan. Highly recommend it. Man, Ryan, I have seen so many people. They're successful wholesalers. They do 100 plus deals a year. They want to get into rehabs. They get burns. Yeah. And then now they're back to square one. I mean, I see it time and time again. And it's because to your point, they didn't take the time to educate themselves. And this is a business. It's not a side project. It's not a hobby. You know, well,
you said it earlier. You said, we're going to find out who survives and who quits.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
This is championship level now. All entrepreneurs, all investors are entrepreneurs. We're going to find out who is an actual entrepreneur now. Because when you're an entrepreneur, you have to figure it out. Ingenuity, creativity, leverage relationships, leverage friends, and learn. Watch, study. Don't buy into everything, right? Just figure out what works for you and your family now and what's going to work for you and your family 3 and 4 months from now and start working in that direction. We'll see who survives in the end. And I guarantee it's going to be a lot of the same people we know. But I really hope that the industry as a whole survives. I really hope that the majority of the investors that are listening to this call will be listening to this call again a year from now.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. I'm going to ask you 2 final questions. Number one, I got to know how you got your nickname Roddy. Okay.
I've always owned Rottweilers. Always had Rottweilers. My demeanor is... We're Chicago, man. We're straightforward. There wasn't fluff. Growing up, I was a rough kid, and I had a rough crew. Okay. And we were known for that around here, but it was evolved. So we rolled with it. I owned the dogs and everything I had like little statues all the time. I mean, that's my dog who passed away in a painted mural.
Yeah. Oh man.
You know, my office is covered in Rottweiler stuff, and it's a cool thing because here's the reality of it, man. A Rottweiler is two things: one, intimidating, scary, bold, and strong. Right? People mm-hmm. fear a Rottweiler if they fear people. However, my Rotties would lay at my feet when I worked because they're loving, caring, empathetic, and they will protect you. And that's I always awesome. Said, now that I'm with investors, my job is to protect you. My job is to show you the way, but you pick which Rottweiler you want. You want the one that's going to bite you in the ass or the one that's going to comfort you? It's your choice.
I so love that, dude. I love it, man. Last one, and we'll get you out of here on this. How old are you, Ryan?
38. I'll be 39 this year.
Okay, so I'm 39 as well. Let's rewind it. Yeah, dude, I turned 40 in July, man, so I'm a little bit ahead of you there. But yeah. Rewind the clock 18, 19 years for you. What's the one thing, if you could give the 20-year-old Roddy one piece of advice, and let's put business on the table. Let's take that off the table, I should say. This is life, personal. What's the one piece of advice you know now you wish you knew when you were 20 years old?
I wish I would have listened to my parents, believe it or not. I wish I would have listened to my parents' warnings sooner. Because now I look at my parents and I have the utmost respect for my parents. My mother was 17. My father was 20 when they had me. They were kids, you know, and they're still together 38, 39 years later. But my point is they'd had me at an age where they were forced to grow up. And at that age is when I was turning the tide, right? I was starting to go crazy, do my thing. Mm-hmm. And they were like, listen, dude, like we had you at this moment in your life. Can you imagine having a baby right now? And I was like, no, of course not. It's not even a thought of mine. And I remember my father my father's a great person. He never really yelled at me. My mom, she's Puerto Rican, she's crazy. That's how it works. But my mother, she was always all over me. And she's still all over me. And my grandmother's here. We're quarantining her ass. So she's all over me. I couldn't cook eggs good enough this morning, right? That's the way it works. But my father is so even keeled. He's so mellow. He's just so passive aggressive.
Yeah.
He would just say, hey, if I were you, I'd slow down. But you're going to do what you're going to do. Hey, if I were you, I would pay attention more. But you know what? You're going to have to learn the hard way. Mm-hmm. He wasn't scared for me. My mom was terrified for me. And now I look back at everything that they were always saying. And I look at cousins and I look at things that they've gone through. And I sit there and go, God, thank God. Thank God that I woke up. And thank God that I went and worked and had that humility experience being a paramedic in the ER to see children dying underneath me when I'm trying to resuscitate them because their parents let them play in the pool and no one was watching them and they drowned. All of that humility hit me at the right time in life. So that's why I'm saying, like, that's a hell of a question because, again, I've never been asked that question. But I wish I'd listened to my parents sooner. But, again, I have no regrets. I'm here for that reason.
I love it. Yeah. Without that experience, you might not be here. Who knows where you'd be, right? Like you referenced Tony Robbins, and there's two things that he says that has always stuck with me. Life happens for you, not to you.
Yep.
And number two, your mess is your message, you know? Yeah. So yeah. I appreciate everything you're doing, man. Friends, reach out to Roddy here, therehabdepot.com. We'll include his cell phone, email in the show notes page. If you guys are going to do rehabs, if you're going to do projects, especially in the type of climate we're in right now, make sure you get educated. Make sure you know what you're doing and stay in your lane. If this is something you want to do, do it, but educate yourself. All right. So Ryan, man, any parting thoughts or words here before we wrap this up?
Nah, man. Hug your babies. Love your loved ones. Stick together. It'll be fine.
That's what it's all about, man. This too will pass. So appreciate you, brother. Anything you need, I'm here for you. And
thanks, bro.
Glad we had you on.
Thanks, brother.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.